Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is our gospel lesson from the book of Mark, chapter 9. We read verses 2 through 9. This is printed for you on page 10 in your bulletin. I invite you to please rise for the reading of the gospel. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were alone by themselves. There he was transfigured in front of them. His clothes became radiant, dazzling white, whiter than anyone on earth could bleach them. And Elijah appeared to them together with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say because they were terrified. A cloud appeared and overshadowed them, and a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Dear Heavenly Father, these words are yours, and so we know that they are the truth. We ask that you'd increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. When you come here to Peace on a Sunday morning, when you show up in church and sit down in the pew, what do you hope to receive? What do you hope to get out of this hour that you spend sitting together with fellow believers in God's house? What do you want to go home with? How do you want church to make you feel? I'm sure there's a wide variety of answers to that question, but I think that we all agree that we come here to receive something that we can't get anywhere else, that we come here to get something different than what the world has to offer us. And if you think about old churches, church architecture, even the way that churches were designed, tried to communicate or teach this message. So if you picture in your mind's eye an old country church, you're probably picturing all the same exact country church. And remember, you have to usually in these old churches walk up steps to get into the little entryway that then leads into right into the worship space, the sanctuary. It was designed like that for a reason, to give you this sense that you were walking up out of your everyday life, that you were leaving your normal everyday work day, that you were leaving your community, your normal experience of your city, and going into a different experience, a situation where God was coming to serve you, to give you the peace and the comfort that He alone could provide. And that's a really neat picture. And I think that when we come to church, there's part of us that understands this, that we do desire to have this relief from the stress, the conflicts, the struggles, the hardships of our everyday life. On some level, we want to have this experience. We want to feel it. And I know that as Lutherans, we're not always comfortable with feelings, right? We don't express those very well oftentimes, but this is kind of on some level what we desire. But I think if we're honest, we know that God brings these things to us through His Word, through His sacraments, through how our liturgy is designed. But I think that we would agree that that's the exception, not the rule, right? Because sometimes there's a hymn verse that's just perfect, that brings us so much comfort, or there's a sermon that's preached that sounds like it's addressing a situation that we are personally facing in our lives right now, or there's a reading from God's Word that we get so much out of, that brings so much of that hope and that comfort that just opens something up for us. But I think that those situations, those cases might be more rare than normal. And even if they are normal, even if it is normal, that every single time you come to church, you have this awesome experience that you really feel like you are close with God, we're here for 1 hour, right? What happens the other 167 hours of the week? We can't be in church 24 hours a day. We can't be reading scripture all day, every day. There are other things that we have to do. We have to do the dishes and the laundry and accomplish our task lists. We can't always have this mountaintop experience every single day. And so we know that in heaven there's going to be nothing but joy and peace and rest, but for now we also know that we live here, that we live in a fallen, corrupted world, And so, yeah, we get little tastes of what it will be like there, but for now, this is where we live. And so while we are here, we have to learn to endure the difficulty. We have to learn what it means to have peace, even during times of turmoil, what it means to have joy, even in moments of sadness. How to not live with a constant mountaintop experience, but how to live with joy, even in the valleys of life. And I think that this was something that in our text, Peter was struggling with. And he had been struggling with it for a little while. Because on that mountaintop, as he is in front of Jesus, he really got to feel it in a greater way than we ever will in our earthly life. So Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, and he brings them up this mountain, and there he is transfigured. That's a big word for change. It's like metamorphosis, like when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. He revealed his true nature, right? He shows to them the glory that is his by right as our eternal God. And Peter witnesses this, right? His clothes become dazzling, radiant white, whiter than anyone on earth could bleach them. And then he sees two patriarchs, two heroes of the faith who had gone into heaven, standing right there with him. He sees Elijah, together with Moses, talking with Jesus. He's experiencing, right here, Peter is, a little taste of what heaven will be like for all of us. He is in the presence of his eternal God, basking in his glory. And then comes one of the more humor-filled sections in all of Scripture. Because if you step back and look at this objectively, what Peter says is funny. He's seeing all of this. He's seeing God. He's in the presence of God. He sees Moses and Elijah, and he says, "Lord, this is awesome. I'm going to build us some tents." What? What does our almighty, eternal God, who has all of the power to create anything in the world, need with a tent? What is Peter thinking? Peter's saying, "Lord, this is incredible, and I don't want it to end. I want this mountaintop experience to be my standard forever. I want to bask in your presence for eternity. I don't want to go back down the mountain. I don't want to go back to my normal life. I don't want to go back to the struggles and the hardships and the difficulties that I know are down there. I want to be up here with you all the time." Even Mark kind of gives him an out, our gospel writer, when he says he didn't know what he was saying because he was terrified. And all these emotions are mixed up, all of this awe and amazement and wonder and terror, and it comes out as Peter saying, "This is what I want. This is my desire. I want to stay here with you." And then it's God the Father who speaks next. He says, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." And again, I know that I'm singling out Peter, but it's because of an event that happened recently with him less than a week before this happened. So Jesus had come to his disciples and he pulled them to the side and he said, "I have to tell you guys something. The Son of Man has to suffer. The Son of Man is about to be handed over to the chief priests, the Pharisees, the religious elite in Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer many things and I'm going to die." And Peter doesn't want to hear it. Again, he has a different view. He has in mind the things of men, not the things of God, not God's plan. He's saying, "I want the glory. I want life on this earth to be better. I want the experience here and now." He says, "Lord, this doesn't have to happen. This will never happen to you. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to die." And in saying this, what he's doing is he's laying a temptation at the feet of Jesus. He's saying, "You don't have to go through the hard stuff, Lord. Think about how powerful you are. Think about how you could heal people. You can give them food and bread. You can provide for them. Think about how popular you could be. You could have entire nations. You could have the entire world praising you and worshiping you and giving you glory here and now. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to die." Jesus hears this temptation come out of the mouth of one of his disciples, and he says, "Get behind me, Satan." Now for us as God's disciples, Jesus' disciples here and now, we can't tempt Jesus. He's already won the victory, right? But we instead can be tempted. And we can be tempted to close our ears to the difficult things that Jesus has to say to us. The difficult messages that he brings. Because it's easy to listen to Jesus when he's giving us the good promises. Right? When he comes to us and he encourages us, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." When he tells you, "I will be with you to the very end of the age." Right? When he says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you and I'm going to bring you back to be where I have gone." Those are our easy promises to listen to because they give us comfort and peace and happiness and joy, and that's great. That's what they're there for. But we also, on the other side, can't close our ears and ignore Jesus' words when his teachings are difficult, when they don't line up with what we want. When he comes to us and he says, and he promises, that this life is going to be difficult. He says, in this world you will have trouble. When he promises, the world is going to hate you because of me, because you wear the name Christian, because you associate with the Savior and the Son of God. When he says that in order to follow him, to be his disciple, that we have to deny ourselves. We have to deny ourselves the things that our sinful heart craves. We have to deny ourselves in pursuing the things that we think are best for us. We have to humble ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. We have to listen to his word, both his law and his gospel. We have to listen to Jesus when he says that every day on this earth, until we leave our mortal bodies, every single day is going to be a battle. A battle against the way that this world thinks, a battle against materialism and greed, against the desires of our own hearts, a battle that on our own we would lose. And losing would mean eternal death. But it's because of that fact, that by ourselves we're doomed. That's why Jesus came back down the mountain with his disciples. This could not have been an easy thing for Jesus to do. He's showing everyone right here that he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that he has all the divine power and glory that the Father and the Holy Spirit have too. But he knows what he's walking into. This Sunday, Transfiguration Sunday, it's kind of the perfect transition between two church seasons. Today is the final day in Epiphany. And so all Epiphany, we've been talking about how Scripture reveals to us who Jesus is. Right? That he has two natures. He's truly the Son of God, but he's also truly a human being in one person. And he's our Savior. And that's revealed in no place better than Transfiguration, than the Mount of Transfiguration. The disciples see his glory. God the Father speaks and says in no uncertain terms, "This is my Son whom I love." So we know who Jesus is. But now we're transitioning into the season where we see what he has done to live up to that name of Savior. Where we study and focus on once again what he has done to accomplish his mission to pay for our sins. Jesus walks back down the mountain on his way to Jerusalem. Our hymn that we just sang was about that riding on into Jerusalem in majesty to the praise of everybody, but riding into Jerusalem to die. As Jesus comes down the mountain, he walks towards Jerusalem, towards his death, towards suffering and being despised and crucified. He knows that as he comes down the mountain, he's walking towards wearing the sins of the entire world as he gives up his life so that we would never be left by ourselves. So that we would not be left alone to try to overcome this sin and the sinful desires in our nature, in our life, to overcome the temptations in this world on our own. He comes down the mountain so that we would not just be left to fail and then suffer in hell. He comes down the mountain as God and man to win the victory in our place, to be our Savior. And it's that good news, it's the gospel in God's word that reveals to you his glory, his nature. And it's different than what the disciples experienced. And yes, that's totally true. It's not the same experience as what the disciples had. It's not with the gigantic, incredible vision of glory basking in the presence of God. God doesn't come to us and reveal his glory and his power to us by giving us as his people a life that is free from struggle and sadness. Jesus shows us his glory, though, in a different way, and maybe even in a better way. He doesn't bring us up to the mountain to be with him. Instead, Jesus has come down into the valley of this life to be with us. Because there are moments in this life where it feels like we are on that mountaintop, where we have these moments of rest and peace and joy. But I think for the most part, we recognize that we are in the valley. Right? Scripture talks about it as the valley of the shadow of death. And that shadow is constantly looming over us, reminding us that this life is temporary. That our existence on this earth is not all that there is. That we too are going to die. And we recognize that as Christians, that as we walk in this valley, that it's going to be difficult, and even more difficult because we are believers, because we are disciples of Jesus. Because as we walk, we are carrying a cross. We are denying ourselves and denying the things that our heart says, hey, this is going to give you temporary relief. This is going to bring you temporary happiness. Indulge in this, but we know that that's against God's word. Jesus says, while you walk through that valley, because of my victory, because of what I have done, because of who I am, what I have accomplished, I will walk with you. As you walk through that valley of the shadow of death, I will walk right beside you. Since I have united myself to you through the gift of faith, when you cannot do it, I can. When you are walking through the valley and it is too much and you are not strong enough, I am. And when there is something that you cannot accomplish, know and believe that I have already done it. I have overcome sin, death, and the devil. I have won salvation for you. Now, obviously, Peter's tent idea was just completely ignored, right? That was a terrible idea. They could not stay on the mountain, on the mountaintop. Peter couldn't spend the rest of eternity with just James and John basking in the glory of Jesus there. James, John, and Peter all came down the mountain. And even after that fleeting moment of glory, that fleeting moment that was so good that they just wanted to stay there, they had to come back to a life that was filled with struggle and sadness and ultimately death. These men were put to death for proclaiming Christ and Him crucified. But this is a struggle, a life of struggle and difficulty that the disciples faced willingly. And it wasn't just because they had this moment of this glorified feeling, right? This incredible experience on the mountain. They faced this stuff willingly because of faith. Because they knew what Jesus had accomplished for them. They knew that He had won the victory. That He had proven that their sins were covered by His death. That by His resurrection, that Jesus had destroyed death forever. He gave them a new perspective through this gift of faith, that their momentary difficulty in life is nothing worth comparing to the glory that's waiting for us when we get to be in the presence of God forever. When our walk through this valley in this life, through the valley of the shadow of death is over, we are brought into the presence of our God forever. So church services here at Peace, church services in the Lutheran Church, their purpose isn't necessarily to give you that feeling, that experience. And as Lutherans, like I said, we're not super comfortable with feelings, but I know that we have them. And when we do have them, when we come to church and we have that experience, that's great. That's not a bad thing. It's not something that we're scared of. But feelings can be fleeting, right? They can be fickle, and they are absolutely temporary. And so when you come to church, it's designed to give you something else, something that lasts, something that's not temporary. Our services are designed to root you in Christ, to strengthen your faith in Jesus, in Him, through His word and through His sacraments, to bring you the tools that God has said, this is how I'm going to strengthen you. My word, my Holy Supper, this is how I'm going to give you the stamina to continue walking through the valley. Our services are designed to remind you that your Lord is with you, that He has done everything necessary to accomplish your salvation and walks with you every single step of the way through this life until that final promise is fulfilled and He brings us to be with Him. We're reminded through God's word that He strengthens us in our weaknesses, that He covers our sin with His righteousness, that He gives us joy in our sadness. And so why I say that God reveals His glory to a way that's almost even better than transfiguration is that we have something that's even more certain than something that we witness with our own eyes. Right? You see something, you're an eyewitness to something, and you think back on it, and you think, did I really see what I think I saw? Am I remembering this correctly? Right? We have something more sure than seeing it with our own eyes. We have something more sure than a feeling. We have the word and promise of our God that it's finished. That salvation has been won. That the crown of life is yours through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. That everything necessary has been completed. We have the word and promise of our God that when our walk through the valley of this life is over, that we will be in his presence forever. Amen. Please rise for the blessing. The peace that surpasses all understanding will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Please remain standing as we